This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
From North, South, East, and West, North America, Japan, and back again, this is your home for modern-day wrestling. With the occasional trip back in time, it's Place to Be Nation's main event. Now let's head into Studio B with your host, Scott Criscolo, and the godfather, Nate Milton.
Place to Be Wrestling Network. Welcome back to the special episode, number-wise, of your home for everything modern-day wrestling and the toe-dipping back in time, Place to Be Nation's main event. I am your tri-host, Scott Criscolo, and just like earlier in the week on the Place to Be podcast, where JR and I celebrated episode 550, tonight we are celebrating episode 150 of the main event. Thank you for joining us. We got a fun show tonight, very philosophical in a time of turmoil in our country, unfortunately. Let's sit and breathe a little bit and think about things. We are going to have fun tonight. We're not going to dour anything. We are going to have fun tonight. We will preview this Sunday night's NXT In Your House. And that's kind of the reason that I have this question on my mind that I'm going to ask my two fine co-pilots. And then, of course, after our break and live reads, we will dive back to the end of 2002 for our well-listened, always awesome, classic TNA pay-per-view recap as we conclude 2002. But let me bring in the guys. Both these guys have great shows here, and they have great shows elsewhere, which I love. Let me bring in this guy. Runs an exceptional Patreon feed. Just dropped a show, I believe, earlier today. Good evening, the Godfather, Nate Milton.
What is going on, Brother Scotty? Yes, like, as you mentioned, you know, we are going through some rough times, rough but necessary, in my opinion, in this country. And I think what's going to get us through this, Scott, is strength and tenacity and hard work and hustle. And that reminds me, you know, this is episode 150. That reminds me of perhaps the most underrated number 50 in NBA history. Number 50 on your program, number one in your heart for the 2001 Washington Wizards. Popeye Jones, ladies and gentlemen. America needs to be more like Popeye Jones. We can rebound from this.
That's so great. This is why I love you so much, Nate Milton. Always bringing it. Always bringing it. We need a little Popeye in our lives. Spinach abound.
The only bricks Popeye Jones threw at the free throw line.
Hey, I won three rings with a guy who couldn't put the ball in the ocean, so I know what it's like about having lousy free throw shooters. Brother Nate, always a pleasure. On the other side there is the conscience of Place to Be Nation. He has a tremendous podcast with my good friend Kelly Nelson on another feed, a good feed. But I love when he's here. He calms things down. We need this calming influence in our lives right now, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Steve Willey.
God, I need a calming influence in my life. Thank you. And I joked with you a couple weeks ago about my just air that I did on podcasting. But today I was proud to say that I held back my laughter during Nate's Popeye Jones joke. And I may have turned red doing it on, like, maybe looking like a Tyler Hansborough, perhaps.
X-Man.
Yes.
What is it? Broken X? Graphic X? What the fuck was his? Psycho X?
Psycho T.
Yeah. Psycho T. Whatever the hell.
He was supposed to be a star, wasn't he?
Yeah. And meanwhile, his brother, Ben, who went to ND, actually ended up being a pretty decent player. Yeah. So
there's so many Hansbrough's and Zellers, and they're all the same guy.
Yeah. My Tyler Hansbrough highlight was him going 0-for-5 in overtime of the 2007 East Regional Final when Georgetown last made it to the Final Four. Oops. Anyway.
I was going to correct myself because I said that I thought it said Tyler Hansbrough had 16.9 points per game in his career. And then I realized I misread, and that was minutes per game.
That was 16.9. I was say, geez, Steve. Some other great 50s. A 50 that broke my heart once many years ago, but made Steve smile. Number 50, the goalie for the three-time last decade Stanley Cup champion Chicago Blackhawks, Mr. Corey Crawford. Of course, one of those three was at the expense of my beloved Bruins in 2013. 2 goals in 2 seconds. Fuck off. But that's about the only 50 I could think of, legit 50 in hockey. I'm sure there'll be a 50 I'm not thinking of. If there is a 50 that we don't think of, please post it to the Place to Be main event, the PTB main event Facebook page after we post this episode and you're listening to it. Go to the page and give us any other 50s. Baseball, I don't think there's many. If there's any baseball 50s, post it on the Facebook page because I don't really think there are any 50s, right?
I can give Jamie Moyer.
Jamie Moyer. Yes, Jamie Moyer.
How long was his career?
That's how old he was when he was a rookie.
Yeah. I got his rookie card somewhere.
Yeah.
It's probably worth 16 cents.
Wow, look at that. Jamie Moyer, of course, spent most of his career with the Seattle Mariners. I know he pitched for the Cubbies, right? Was he with you guys for a little bit too, Steve?
Yeah, he started his career. You can buy his 87 Topps card on Amazon for 89 cents.
Nice. I have that card somewhere in a book because I love that. Is that the Woodback card?
Yes.
Oh, yep. I love that fucking set. Love that set. Couple of NFL guys, then we'll get to the NBA. Couple of NFL guys. Dave Dalby, who was a lineman for the Raiders in the good years. And then, of course, Mr. Willie. The pride of Baylor University and a past head coach of the 49ers, right? Was it the 49ers?
Yep.
But arguably the greatest middle linebacker of all time, except maybe for the guy that played before him, which we'll talk about in the next episode. I'm, of course, talking about number 50, Mike Singletary. What a beast.
Got his rookie card, too. It's only slightly more expensive than the Jamie Moyer.
Just a little?
Yeah, it's pretty beat up, but still.
Let me guess. $20?
Yes, pretty much.
I thought $20 was high. Let's put it this way, guys.
Yeah, it's like 10 to 15, 10 to 20.
In 1987, just on a side note before we get to the NBA, guys, I bought... In 1987, it was the summer of 87. I just graduated from grammar school. It was right the summer before my freshman year in high school. I bought Doc Gooden's rookie card for $9 in 1987. And I thought $9 was because Doc's one of my favorite players. $9. Now it's you want to know? I think it's 80 cents. Hurts my heart. No, do I buy Darryl's? No, I buy Doc's. But no, anyway. I would love
a couple more bucks. You could have bought a Sid Fernandez card too.
Exactly, El Sid. I love Sid. I think I have Sid's rookie. Actually, Nate, it's funny you say that. Well, I had the '86 Topps traded set, which, if you remember, was a killer set because that had every year a different rookie in that set. Like, was the high card for like a series of years. Originally, I bought that set because of Canseco's rookie card.
Mm-hmm.
That shit the bed. Also in that set, Will Clark, Bobby Bonilla, Bo Jackson, and yes, Barry Bonds. So that set was that 86 Topps traded. For those that don't know baseball cards, because, you know, nobody collects them anymore, a traded set was like, and Nate and Steve both know this, a traded set was like an extra set that came out like in the off season. It was separate from the regular full complete set of that year in Topps, and it was all the rookies that came up late in the year that they didn't have a chance to make cards for, and that was the rookie sets. And mostly it was rookies and guys that got traded. So, for instance, the 84 Topps traded set would have had a Gary Carter Mets card because 84 was his last year with the Expos, that kind of thing.
Yeah, if you were looking for that hot Phil Bradley with the Seattle Mariners card.
Phil Bradley. But that 86 Topps, look it up like on one of those card sites. 86 Topps traded set was fucking murderer's row for cards. Canseco, Bonds, Bonilla, Bo, a lot of Bs, Will Clark, ton of guys in that set that were killer. Anyway, So those are the 250s. Now, the NBA, obviously, everybody goes down from here because Nate said the best one, Popeye Jones. the best 50, probably, actually, it's not probably,
easily,
it is.
Easily,
the best 50 of all time. The best 50 of all time had one of my coolest nicknames of all time. And it was happy to finally see him win an NBA title in 1999. We are, of course, talking about the Admiral, David Robinson.
The Admiral. I told David to pass me the ball. So Avery Johnson is amazing. Like I don't think America treasures Avery Johnson the way they need to treasure Avery Johnson. Man, if you do nothing else this week, people, maybe reflect on why you haven't given Avery Johnson the respect that man is due.
No shit. Let's see. Some other 50s in the NBA history.
One of the Twin Towers.
One of the Twin Towers.
The original Twin Towers.
Yes. The pride Ralph of the Sampson. University of Virginia. Mr. Ralph Sampson, who probably next to Patrick Ewing had the greatest four-year career in college in the 1980s. And then went, and then of course, they thought he was the better tower than the other tower in Houston. Yeah, right. 2 years. Within 2 years, he was in Golden State. And the other guy won two rings and is in the Hall of Fame. So, in any event. Although Ralph Sampson is in the College Sports Hall of Fame. I don't think he's in the NBA Hall of Fame. He might be. Because that's a combo.
I was going to say, yeah, because it's the Basketball Hall of Fame in general.
Yeah, so it's both.
He might.
He probably is.
Yep. He is.
He is
in the Hall of Fame. Yep.
Antonio Daniels.
Yep.
Or number 50. DeAndre Payne.
Sampson and Jordan went back and forth in high school.
Yes.
And a little bit in college. I just read that autobiography. The biography. We talked about this on the show before. But
yeah,
they had some high school stuff and college stuff they went back and forth on.
Yep. No, absolutely. It was both from the Carolina area, obviously. Mm-hmm. So Dan Gadzurek. Got some other great 50s here. Eddie House. Fuck you, Eddie House.
Eddie House.
Fuck you, Celtic prick. Irvin Johnson. Not that one.
The other Irvin.
The other Irvin. Irvin without the – not Irvin, but Irvin. Let's see. Corey Maggette. Fuck you. Another Duke alum. Mike Miller, who just walked away from Penny Staff right, is it that Mike Miller? I think so.
Memphis.
The one that was on Penny Staff at Memphis. It just – yeah, it was.
Yeah.
The pride of Ohio State, and then had like 37 microfracture surgeries once he got to the NBA, Mr. Greg Oden, number 50. If I don't mention this guy, my brother will kick me in the nards. Number 50 from the Charlotte Bobcats and the University of Connecticut, Mr. Emeka Okafor. Robert Sacre was number 50. Let's see. Chris Washburn, he was a top pick in the 80s, and then I think he died. Speaking of Memphis and many other teams he played for, number 50,
Zebo.
Mr. Zach Randolph. So there you go. So plenty of 50s in the NBA.
He was good Portland too.
Yes, he was. He was good. He was very good in Portland. Yes. And, he could have been good with the Knicks if that wasn't a fucking burnt, rotted out chicken pot pie of a team. So, plenty of 50s. And I'm sure we'll have a few 51s, when we get to, in 2 weeks. I know we have one baseball 51, obviously. And, of course, Steve will have another bear. So, all right. Gentlemen, tonight, of course, as mentioned, we will talk NXT In Your House, which is coming up this Sunday from the Performance Center. And then, of course, in the B block, after the reads and our bill paying, we will go back to December of 2002 for this week's classic TNA pay-per-view recap, which I look forward to with much gusto now that we do it all the time when we do it. But, guys, I have a question, and it kind of goes in line with some of the other shows here on the Place to Be Wrestling Network, which we hope you're all subscribed to because everything on here is awesome. You know, obviously, we do Main Event, which is a modern-day wrestling show. Every Saturday morning, Dr. G and I bring you the NWA Saturday Special, which we'll have this week as well. But here's a question. Obviously, we have a show coming up this Sunday in an empty building, NXT In Your House. Next Sunday, we'll have another show, which we'll talk about the following week, which is, of course, Backlash in an empty building. AEW just did Double or Nothing in an empty building and an empty football stadium. The NWA is shut down, and they're doing a lot of fun, creative things on their YouTube page, which please subscribe to. It's pretty awesome. Impact, empty arena. Ring of Honor is kind of, I don't know, floating in and out. And New Japan is, for the most part, on hiatus. So here's a question. How hard is it for us? And how hard is it for other pods and other media outlets to really talk modern-day wrestling? Let's put it this way. I don't find it hard to do this show ever. First of all, I love you guys. And secondly, who shuts me up? I could talk wrestling all the time. But honestly, it's hard. WWE, and I'm saying this, everyone thinks I'm a Vince shill, but WWE feels like it's on autopilot until there's bodies back. Okay. AEW, and let's be honest, all right? I'm sorry. Snowflakes can make fun of me all they want. Eventually, AEW is going to feel like they're on autopilot. I'll give Double or Nothing the benefit of the doubt because that's their like Royal Rumble or SummerSlam or WrestleMania. Just like WWE's WrestleMania was taken seriously. But eventually, even Fyter Fest and these, it's going to feel like autopilot. Until bodies come back in buildings, which who knows when that'll be. Is it hard? I'll start with you, Nate. Is it hard to get excited about thinking about or watching or talking about current wrestling as it stands now?
It's certainly harder than normal. I think that my appetite for SmackDown and Raw is close to zero. What I do consume during the week is primarily AEW, then NXT, and then maybe if I have the energy for it, I'll check out what Impact's got going on. But yeah, like I think it's the 1-2 punch for me of A, these shows do feel like maybe not autopilot, but certainly like you're watching a video game or a simulation of wrestling without that engagement from the audience. And then this week, wrestling was the furthest thing from my mind. So it's like, I think we're still a ways away, probably a good month, because from things kind of feeling normal or normal-ish. Once we get the NBA back, I think that'll, no pun intended, get the ball rolling for other sports and for wrestling. Because I've tried to check out some of the UFC shows, and they're fine, but it's still not the same thing.
I mean, we've gotten so excited talking about 2002 TNA, and we're doing our WCW match picks. Which Steve, ball's in your court in 2 weeks. We'll talk more about that at the end of the show. We're loving talking about classic wrestling and watching it. I'll be honest, I don't watch full Raw and full SmackDown. I go to the YouTube page and I pick and choose anything that sounds exciting, which is sadly, thin. I've kind of been paying attention to NXT for the most part. We'll talk about that show in a few minutes. Steve, you're a big New Japan guy like the rest of us, and we talk ROH and that kind of thing. But obviously, New Japan's practically on hiatus. And think of all the great shows they're losing out on. They should be doing Dominion very soon, whether it's was it supposed to be this week or sometime this month. And then in the summer, we were supposed to dive into, the climax. So, but who knows if that's even happening? So, what about you in this wilderness? Right now of modern day wrestling and trying to get excited when, again, most of it feels like it's on autopilot. And again, WWE is definitely feels like it's on autopilot because let's be honest, guys, I know in our picks we're right for Money in the Bank, but let's be honest, in the regular everyday world, would Otis have ever gone near a briefcase? No. Sorry. I hate to punch everyone in the face.
Otis has been the
reality.
Best thing about main roster WWE.
Exactly. Of course it is. Because they don't give a shit right now, which is sad. Otis should have earned this right in the real world, in normal world. But AEW is going to have the same thing. Eventually, they're going to feel like they're on autopilot because that's just what happens. It's fine to have developmental guys and random dudes sitting in the but even that's going to lose its luster. Now, I applaud AEW for doing that before WWE. WWE's been doing it the last few weeks, but also, again, that's a gimmick that will run its course. So what are your thoughts, Steve, on trying to feel the pulse or the heartbeat of current wrestling when it's very hard to?
You know, it has been difficult. I have watched AEW. I'm like a week or so behind. Theirs was getting to be a drag, their weekly programming, because they had such a small roster, those shows in, I think it was QT Marshall's gym. There were like a lot of squash matches. I think it picked up again right before Double or Nothing when they started doing this, the matches in the football field and in the concourse. But besides a couple of the big angles and programs, there was some lagging in there too. I thought Double or Nothing, there was some really good, and there was some, there, well, there was one horrible, the Dustin Rhodes Sean Spear thing, and some kind of some middling. It has, I just haven't been as interested in current. Like, I'll go back and watch some old stuff before falling asleep. I've been signed up for the High Spots service that I had last year, and I'm watching some indie stuff from Chicago from a few years ago, and some like World Class and NWA stuff from the 80s. But haven't watched much the last week, really. I mean, I heard this week they, New Japan announced that they're going to start doing some shows soon, because the order in Japan, the stay-at-home order, has been lifted. So we'll see what that looks like. I'm assuming they're going to do empty arena shows for just a little bit and then open to limited fans. I would guess they're doing G1. I mean, they were paying the guys, it sounded like. They have a few months off to get in shape. I know Ring of Honor hasn't done anything. They were at least still paying all their guys and girls. Yeah, it has been difficult. Like, I get excited to talk to you guys, but beforehand we're like, oh, it's going to be a quick show tonight. What can we talk about?
I know, right?
Got that 2002 TNA.
And is that, and that's funny because, again, we're appreciating, and I've said this on every show here on the Wrestling Network. The best thing to happen for us in our little group, in our world, is this GWCW project, because whether it's us here at Main Event or G and I on the Saturday special, or Drew Wardlaw's doing some pod blasts, or Chad over on the other feed doing Carolina Dreamin' and everybody else doing some other stuff, people have gotten legitimately excited. And I think a lot of it is because the current product is rough to watch. And I'm sorry to make a disclaimer, and I've said this over and over again. And I'm the first one to admit this, because I am very, very, very compartmentalized about my fandom. Nate and Steve are better fans than I am. I'll be honest. They're more open-minded. A lot of it is not because I hate or dislike a certain promotion. It's the fans that piss me off. I've said that over and over again. Wrestling fans are assholes, except you guys, because I love you. But at times, even we're assholes sometimes, you know? But Nate's like, oh, fuck, we are. But
just ask Mark Madden.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I didn't realize, on a side note,
the character of Mark Madden.
The character of Mark Madden, who may or may not have once threatened legal action against me.
Speaking of, time for me to hit my turn signal and get off for a second. Did either of you guys, oh, Nate, you had to have watched it. Did you guys watch Sting the Lost Tape yet?
No.
Oh, my God. Nate, Steve, you should watch it. But Nate, you should definitely watch it, because it's your boy. But it's it's like 13 minutes, and then the second half's the match. Mm. It's a behind the scenes look at Sting.
Kind of like the one guy, the Bret Hart and your man
Tom McGee,
yeah, kind of like that.
So Sting, it was behind the scenes the night of Uncensored 95. Oh, I'm sorry, Slamboree. My bad. My apology. Slamboree 95, when Sting fought the Boss or the Guardian Angel or whatever the fuck he was called that night. Big Bubba. I think he was Big Bubba Rogers at that point, because Love Ray Traylor, God rest his soul, but he had like all nine names when he was in WCW. And he was walking around. He was painting. I never realized Sting, you know what? God bless Sting. He painted his own face. That's not easy. He did a thing with Macho Man, and then they did the match. So the whole clip is like 27 minutes, but that the behind the scenes part's like 15, and then the match is like 12. Check it out. Those are the things on the network that people are loving. That the Taker series, a bunch of other stuff, the playlists. Somebody laughed. Oh, look, there's a Ciampa Gargano playlist. It's four matches and it's 4 hours or 3 hours, I think. Four matches in 3 hours. Oh, Jesus. Anyway, so everyone thinks that I Dr. G and I get in this debate all the time that I pick on AEW. I hate AEW. I'm pro WWE. I'm from Hog Mountain, whatever. But I don't dislike AEW. I like Cody. I love Cody. I love his dad. Love his brother. Kenny and the Bucks, depends on the day of the week. But I love Cody. I don't dislike AEW fans of the AEW. I can't stand their fans. They're unreasonable. And I know what, and I get it. And you can have like, you know, you can have differing opinions. But when you're purposely being unreasonable and illogical, now you're just ruining the pot. And I have bitched for the last probably 6 months that AEW got the benefit of the doubt all the time, even if they did something as equally stupid as any other promotion would do, but they got an excuse, whereas nobody else did. Those are the things that annoyed me. If WWE and AEW did the exact same thing on a show, WWE would be yelled at, ripped, they're classless, sell them, yada, yada. AEW, wow, that was really awesome. Or at worst, oh, well, at least they tried. Those were the things that annoyed me. But I've learned that people can have their opinions. I may think they're illogical or dipshitted, but most people probably think that about me. I'm a Triple H fan. Look at all the bullshit I've had to deal with the last 20 years of my life. So, fuck, who am I to say anything? But this is definitely, like, I feel people have been galvanized by watching classic wrestling. And maybe that cleanses our palates for when WWE actually does this for real again and AEW. I was pumped for Double or Nothing. I didn't get it. Because you guys have heard me. I've bitched about spending $50 for a full crowd. You think I was going to spend $50 for an empty stadium? I don't care if people say that this 10-man tag was the greatest match in the history of the universe, which it wasn't. But that's fine. I ain't paying $50 for an empty crowd.
Didn't they end up airing the whole show on the YouTube?
Oh, God, Steve? I hope not. I sure hope not.
That would have been awesome.
Otherwise, I'm out $50.
I don't know if it was the whole show or like a handful of matches, but I think Marcus was telling me the other week that, like, I know this, like, the big stadium stampede was on the YouTube because that was the match that had the most conversation about it, I think.
Okay, I don't think they put it up, but someone put it up.
Mm.
Let me go to. It's not on. I don't think it's on the AEW.
No,
that would be seen.
No, it's not. It's someone else put it up though.
This match is brought to you by Nefarious Means Cable.
Yeah.
NMC.
But yeah, like that stadium match was good. Like I didn't see anything else from the show, but the stadium match was good. It was more of like I wish WWE was doing more of that stuff. Like everybody raved about the Boneyard match and the Bray Wyatt match with John Cena from WrestleMania, and they really haven't gone back to that since.
I think you'll see it on Sunday. We'll talk more about that when we do our picks, but I have a feeling you'll see more of that in the next 2 weeks, both at In Your House this Sunday.
I think they tried it with, speaking of Gargano and Ciampa, they tried it with
and
them.
It failed.
Yeah, it flopped.
Mm-hmm. It flopped. And they sort of tried it with Edge and Orton at Mania, but that just went too slow.
Yeah, 45 minutes.
Yeah, that was a bit. That was like Bad Blood 04, Sean Triple H bad in terms of
that was
lagging.
Keith David and Roddy Piper from They Live.
Come on, that fight's awesome, Nate. Come on, you may have to live watch that for a main event special. So, like all these streaming sites, whether it's Impact Plus, I feel is getting the most benefit. The network is pretty much leveled out, although I have a feeling we're going to start seeing I think WWE is going to start pushing, because now, as you know, one of the news bits this week, they have now released a layered or a lower tiered free. They're already starting the tiering because you can get a free version of the network. It's got pay-per-views from the last 5 years, and I don't know how much classic stuff, but
not much. I don't even know if
I don't think it's
talk shows and stuff.
Yeah, it's not a lot. But I'm looking forward to whatever the $14.99 tier is, because I'll pay the extra $5. But Impact Plus, I mean, we've been watching the shit out of that for a while, guys, because obviously with what we'll be doing in the B block and what we always do every other episode. But I feel like a lot of people are watching it now. And they're doing a nice job of kind of promoting themselves, both on their YouTube page, and they still do Impact every week. Let's talk about New Japan for a minute, Steve. Do you feel like they blew this opportunity to help themselves in this country by maybe trying to set up a New Japan World deal, kind of like their own layered? Because that's the one stream that really everybody should have, because the New Japan Pro Wrestling World is fucking great. It's $10. But do you think this would have been a good time for them to maybe start promoting something in North America and really maybe use this time to kind of get their influence in the States heightened? Or no? Or am I out of league on that?
You know, it's not a bad idea for sure. Like, it wouldn't have been a bad idea of like hooking up with someone, maybe showing like classic matches like they used to with Access back in the day. I don't know where it came from, if it was up top, but I know that Tanahashi was very much front and center with some guys from other promotions and girls from other promotions saying it's irresponsible for us to be holding wrestling shows for, you know, both the fans and for the talent. So I'm betting it's more of a cultural thing, because, you know, there's many of us in this country who are like thinking, nope, let's do it anyway. I mean, not any of us, but like there are those people who are out there. There's athletes that are like, okay, let's do it. But they really didn't seem interested. There's like some of the smaller promotions, like I know All Japan, which, you know, used to be a huge promotion, but they've done a bunch of empty arena shows. You know, Stardom has done a couple shows. But for the most part, they've canceled everything and chose not New Japan. Obviously, they've done nothing. And so when they come back, it's going to be, I don't know. I mean, I canceled the service for the last couple of months because I didn't see the benefit of paying $10 to a big corporation for giving me nothing. Remind me, I need to write into MLB to get my refund on that, by the way.
I didn't even bother. I used to do the automatic renewal, but I dumped it in the off season because I just like doing it yearly, and thank God I didn't pick this year, because didn't pay for it this year, because obviously I would be watching nothing. I actually found a great for all you baseball fans. On a side note, if you want to watch something cool, and guys, please hop on it if you'd like. If you go to there's a YouTube channel called MLB Vault, which I think is run by MLB because it hasn't been yanked and it's been there a while, and it's just playlists of endless games, and they're categorized: no hitters, LCS, World Series. Right now I have on, I'm just watching the playlist and I have it on in the background here, Game 6 of the 95 World Series. So a Chad Campbell special here, when Tom Glavine shut out the Indians in Game 6 after Dave Justice said the fans sucked, and then he hit the home run to give them the 1-0 win. So anyway.
You just saw a glimpse into my mind how it works when I'm talking about, oh, I canceled New Japan because I didn't want to give them free money, and then realizing that I automatically pay for MLB. That was all all in one thought process.
The bigger assholes right now.
Yeah, like what? I'm an idiot. You just saw that live, how my brain works.
Good luck in your money back too. but anyway, Nate, what are your thoughts on what I asked Steve about this New Japan thing? Do you think they blew a chance to kind of help expand their North American influence a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's something that they probably should have been doing even before this. You know, I'm not sure the amount of buys they would get, just because, again, like this, I think everybody's in a depressed state in terms of watching wrestling. And so, like, this could be a good time to introduce somebody to your product, but at the same time, how many eyeballs are you going to get? I think that's been the biggest thing for New Japan, because it feels like, Steve, maybe as recently as 2 years ago, like, it felt like it was the time for them to make big inroads into America, but that hasn't come to fruition yet.
No, and now it feels like there's too many options at this point.
Yep. The time to strike would have been before AEW started.
Yeah. Yep. And, you know, Impact is, which I think, too, has been very good from what I watched since I was going to say Revolution. What was their latest
Double or Nothing
pay-per-view? Not, no, Impact's.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah,
Rebellion?
It starts with an R. Yeah, Rebellion. Thank you.
Rebellion. I am. That wasn't a pay-per-view. Wasn't that a two-week Impact?
Yeah, it was a two-week thing. It usually is a pay-per-view, but it was Japan. I thought that was really good. I thought the week after was really fun. But they're, you know, they're still struggling to get an imprint. I do think the window is closed, and they're going to have their niche audience. I'm sure that once they start back up, they're going to have a lot of people excited, because it's going to be almost like the new kid on the block in a way. We've had these WWE shows, like you said, that are of little significance. AEW has been good, but again, like you said, there's only so many great ideas you can have over a few months with no people in the crowd. So people are going to be excited to see what New Japan does with, gosh, they were one of the first ones to pull the plug, right? End of February, I feel like they ended.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, I'm just saying that because I'm more saying it, guys, from a like even a classic content. Like, hey, look at this great stuff that we've done in New Japan over the years. We do the great stuff now. When we come back, you'll want to be on the New Japan Pro World bandwagon. You know what I'm saying? Like, take advantage of the content. You know what I'm saying? Like, take advantage of the endless content. But obviously, Steve, and I'm not saying that our show influenced you. We obviously aren't doing New Japan matches for the rest of the year, so I don't know if that influenced.
I seriously doubt anything new except like some. They had some classic matches pop up, but really it was just like interviews and stuff. So there's just some, and I think that's the benefit of the time we live in, is that there's so many streaming services out there for, like, you know, every independent place has one, or there's the IWTV and High Spots, and all the Japanese companies have them. It's like, oh, okay, well, you know, I can take a break on New Japan. I've had it since almost the beginning, and, you know, look at other stuff. We've talked about it before. There's infinite content out there, so, you know, why not look at other stuff? Hey, you can actually watch old international footage from various countries from the 50s through the 90s, and check out the show with Steve Willey and Kelly Nelson called International House of Combat.
So, and it was just a shot, you know, it's just a question to think about. Again, I feel like Impact has benefited, because I've watched a couple episodes, and they're pretty fun. And the one thing about Rebellion that I enjoyed when we talked about it, they shot it to where it didn't look so barren. Like, the small companies benefit from this because they're used to running shows in little places. So whether it's WWE in the Performance Center or AEW and Tony Khan's little playground thing, whatever that is, that – listen to me. I do sound like a douche, don't I? you like that? In the really awesome Performance Center, or that fucking dump that Tony Khan owns.
The Jacksonville Football Stadium.
I know you like that. Well, shit fucking team nobody wants. But oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? No. No. But they can't help looking empty because they're used to big camera shots and big buildings.
Yeah.
So I'll give AEW the benefit of the doubt. I'm not picking on them. WWE's the same way. They can't help but shoot big buildings with no people in it. Whereas Impact, guys, we watched Rebellion. I thought it looked great. They kept that tight camera on the entrance, which was short, and the ring. And I think WWE and AEW need to do that. Tighten it up severely. I mean, I know the Raw and SmackDown they kind of do, but they should do it even tighter. Like, I felt like the ramp for Impact for Rebellion was like 3 inches. You know, it's like, walk out, you're in the ring. It's kind of like Maple Leaf Gardens with the fucking, you know, the bridge or whatever. And it just looks so, it doesn't look as barren. So I thumbs up to Impact Wrestling for at least doing their best to not look so empty. You know what I mean? Pump crowd noise in. I don't know, fake it. Who gives a shit? What the fuck's anybody going to say at this point? You know what I mean? They could do it and be fine. I think if AEW or WWE did it, they'd look stupid. So anyway, I wanted to throw that question out there because, guys, we do an awesome show every 2 weeks. We've been kicking ass and taking names for 6 years. Steve, when we had the Core Four, and then when Nate stepped in and made it pretty.
Three people.
Yeah,
it takes one Nate to take place of three people.
Exactly. I had a dream once, Nate.
It's like the Herschel Walker deal.
Yeah, I had a dream once, Nate, and I could say you're in it and feel completely heterosexually fine about it. I had a dream with you in it. I dreamt that you were in my walked in like Will Smith in Men in Black, and said as you were debuting for that first episode, and go, I make this look good. That's what I did. So you were in the Will Smith outfit with the shades. I'm just saying.
Nice.
So there you go. although I would rather be dressed like Maurice White in Earth, Wind, and Fire. You know, that would
Steve,
been cool.
Steve could be a Verdeen.
Yeah. So anyway, my point is
you were going to say Ben Vereen for a bit.
Ben Vereen. What a voice.
Probably Ben Vereen.
Ben Vereen, yes. Yes, who is still alive as I learned this past week. I thought he had left us.
I thought he did too, because he had always had. I think he's got severe diabetes, and which he battled for years. So I thought he passed away too. Wow. Anyway, we've here a main event. We have spent 6 years giving you the best in modern day wrestling, and I think we're the best at it compared to anybody around. And it just I wonder how we feel about trying to battle giving you news every week when there's nothing going on. You know what I mean? Nobody's watching Raw. Nobody's watching SmackDown. A decent amount are watching NXT. People are still watching Dynamite because it's still kind of a novelty. Nobody's watching New Japan because there's nothing to watch. Ring of Honor sucked before this happened. So they have no excuse. How is Honor Club not free yet? How fucking stupid are they? You know, I mean, Jesus. And then NWA, as Dr. G and I know, have done a nice job. And again, please listen to our interview with Dave Lagana that we had last week. And yes, I already talked to the doctor, guys. And when we do get, and we are going to get Billy Corgan, guaranteed, we will make it a main event Saturday special hybrid. I want all four of us on together. We'll bring the doctor on.
Let's just make sure that it's the last person you want with the NWA. Because otherwise, Nate and I are just going to do puns the entire time, and then they'll never, they'll never want us on again. Have anything to do with it.
You're going
to
be like, Billy, without any wrestling, are you melancholy? Yeah, and no, I never asked him, would you do a pay per view called Cherub Rock? I'm just saying.
It's like, Billy, I understand you have anger issues, but despite all your rage, are you still just a rat in a cage?
Oh, God. No bullet with butter.
Emptiness is loneliness, and loneliness is cleanliness.
All right, fuck this. Dr. G and I
are God is
alone.
Empty just like you're a real. All right, hell
with this. G and I are doing this alone.
And that's the last time Billy Corgan returns Scott's phone call.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, guys. Great. So.
Good luck getting front row tickets next time Zwan comes to town.
Yeah, exactly. I got it, and I will tell you something, guys. I got a. I got some.
Got a Zwan CD in my CD shelf.
No, I actually do.
Steve says, you know, Billy, having you on this show today, speaking of today, it is the greatest day I've ever known. I'm gonna be like, oh, fucking Christ. No. Anyway, hopefully we get him on.
They'd hang up on us.
He's done an awesome
landslide.
I always used to be able to trust you, Steve Willie. Anyway, anyway, check out the Dave Lagana interview that that the doctor and I did last week in the Saturday special, and hopefully we can get we'll get Mr. William P. C. on at some point. All right. Speaking of, let's talk about Sunday quickly. This Sunday is indeed NXT TakeOver In Your House. Again, something I don't think they would have done if this was going on. And maybe that's a good, maybe that's actually a good thing that they're doing this. You know, the poster looks like the old school in your house, which is kind of badass. So it will be a full sale. They are going to have it in the, at the school. So the school's opening. Obviously there'll be no students or anything, just, you know, crew and the wrestlers. It'll be at the, I don't know where this was supposed to be, but anyway, it will mark the 25th anniversary of the first In Your House, which was May 14th, 1995 in Syracuse. Gentlemen, trivia question. This is the first takeover to be held at Full Sail since? No cheating. No Googling.
I already see it, so I'm not going to say anything.
Oh, be up to it. Wow, Steve being honest. I like that. Nate?
Good job, Steve. I'm going to say, see, this is 2020. I'm going to say 2017.
Close. Almost to the day, actually. The last NXT TakeOver in Full Sail, June 8th, 2016. NXT TakeOver The End. So almost 4 years to the day of Sunday show was the last time an NXT TakeOver.
That's right. Yep. Yep. That's right.
The main event on that show was Joe and Finn in a cage.
Yep.
Which was won by Joe. Joe was champion. That was when Joe won the NXT belt at a house show in Lowell. Here's the card. Ready for this quickly? Almas defeated Ty Dillinger. Who's that guy? Whatever happened to him? He kind of vanished, didn't he?
Tully Blanchard on his penis. That was the stupidest thing.
Oh, God. The Revival. What the fuck happened to those guys? Defeated American Alpha in a tag title match. Man. Knock defeated Austin Aries. Asuka defeated Nia Jax. Sorry, Nate. You're not going to lose. You're not beating my girl with the green mist. Crazy girl with green mist. And Joe defeated Finn in a cage. So that was the last NXT takeover in Full Sail. And then the next one after that was Brooklyn 2, SummerSlam weekend. So, all right.
Yep.
We have six matches. And we'll go up and down. And here we go. All right. We have a six-woman tag. Mia Yim, Shotzi Blackheart, who I'm starting to grow on me, and Tegan Nox versus Candice LeRae, Dakota Kai, and Raquel Gonzalez. I'm sorry, I'm missing something. Did Dakota Kai turn face? Why is she on the same side as... Wait, did Candice LeRae turn heel?
Yeah, yes. Candice turned heel with Johnny.
Oh, God. That must be more nauseating than fucking babyface Candace. Ugh.
Probably wore like black lipstick or something.
Oh,
to
Christ.
Change it.
Just high five the baby faces at the tunnel. Make sure the camera's watching you, too. All right. Your thoughts on this one, Nate? I think I'm digging the faces here. I love Shotzi. She's awesome. I like the faces here.
Yeah, I think... it'll be interesting because they just turned Candice. Mm-hmm. So I think they got to keep her strong somehow in this match. Probably Raquel will take the fall just because she's the muscle for Dakota. So, yeah, I'll go with Team Yim.
Team Yim? All right. What do you think, Steve?
I think it's because it's a six-woman. I'll go Team Dakota because I ain't getting Candice. First dibs on. I'm not giving her the captain's hat.
Yeah, the hell with that idea.
They should have made this a captain's match, a good old fashioned captain's match.
Yeah,
that's right. But I think Shotzi's gonna
interesting
do
little
else.
Redevelopment of the women's division. You know, with Mia's getting put up, like Shotzi and Tegan and Dakota, and you know, getting pushed up over the last few months.
Yep.
You know why I like Shotzi Blackheart so much? She has two of the coolest former ring names ever. Joey Ryan's penis and Missy Hiya Shit. So count me in for Shotzi Blackheart. I love her. Anyway, that's your six-woman tag. So Keith Lee, speaking of Team Yim, Team Yim's number one fan, Keith Lee, defending the North American title against former North American champion Johnny G. Do we boost his heel run by having Keith Lee drop it? What do you think, Steve?
I hope not. Gargano's had enough belts type stuff. Keith Lee is still, I mean, Keith Lee is, gosh, probably my favorite male wrestler in WWE or NXT. So I hope that he wins, like, unless Gargano cheats. But yeah, I think Keith Lee's going to win here.
Okay. What do you think, Nate?
Yeah, the only way I would have Gargano win is if Keith Lee were moving up, and there's no sense in moving him up when there's no crowd.
Yeah.
No, I don't think you'll see any ups or downs right now. No, yeah. I agree with you on that.
So I will I mean, never say never, because they brought Bianca Belair up for no damn reason.
She needed to be on Main Event. Not yeah. ours. Not the good Main Event.
Yeah, not the good Main Event. No.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Amazing.
All right. But, yeah, I'm going with Keith Lee on this one.
Okay. I have an odd feeling that Johnny's going to win, but I don't know.
Hey, take your pick.
Not sure. You know? For the NXT Championship, a last chance backlot brawl between your champion Adam Cole, B-A-Y, and Velveteen Dream. And if Dream loses, he can no longer challenge for the title as long as Cole is champion. Now, after what happened with Velveteen Dream some time ago with questionable phone etiquette, I'm surprised he's still here. But
the Dream has no recollection of that.
No recollection, yes. I don't know the word. The
Dream off.
The word, Paul. I have a feeling. I'm torn. I'm going to see what you guys pick. Steve, what do you think?
I'm stuck on this one too. I'm kind of 50-50 on it. I think Adam Cole should eventually just go up and maybe still have the belt. They're doing that with Charlotte as well, back and forth. The same thing that you said about Keith Lee, like, if you know, why bring him up without a crowd? Like, why have Velveteen win without a crowd? Like, it doesn't make sense to me. And if it's a backlot, you know, a lot of times when they have these dips where you can no longer challenge, the face ends up losing. So I'll stick with Adam Cole. Baby.
Okay. What do you think, Nate?
Yeah, I think A, if there were a crowd involved, and B, if, you know, the allegations hadn't popped up a month or so ago, easy Velveteen Dream for this. But given the situation, I think, yeah, Adam Cole retains because, A, again, why would you have this big moment? You know, we saw how Drew McIntyre's title win came off at WrestleMania. And it's like, yeah, you know, Drew's doing the best he can, but I don't think there's anybody in America. That's no disrespect to our UK brothers, but there's nobody in America overly enthused right now about the Drew McIntyre title run.
Uh-oh. Oh, boy. Special relations guys don't like that.
I'd hate to see that happen to Velveteen. Plus, you know, thinking cynically, Scotty, if you wait a couple months, people will have forgotten about those allegations.
Probably.
Well, this is my new theory that I've come up with. It's called the China syndrome. You know, Triple H said that if you, you know, Google China, you know, what comes up, and you can't put her in the Hall of Fame because of that. Well, if you Google Velveteen Dream right now, you get his, you know, the wiki page, his WWE superstar page. Oh, Velveteen Dream denies allegations. Some videos, Velveteen Dream denies allegation. Oh, Adam Cole versus Velveteen Dream. Velveteen Dream denies allegations. NXT needs to tread carefully with Velveteen Dream. The latest on the allegations made against Velveteen Dream. And the Velveteen Dream fandom page. So I'm sticking with Adam.
We end on the happy allegations.
The China syndrome.
Well, I think Adam Cole's going to keep it too. More for the reasons about the crowd and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I think we have a great in-ring match here. Finn Balor taking on Damian Priest. What do you think, Nate?
First of all, I didn't realize, because the last time I watched the Damian Priest match was back in November. when you and Jenny and Tim Cable and I did the after show for NXT War Games, and we kept calling Damian Priest Steve Perry.
And it did. I don't remember much of that show.
Yeah. We kept calling him Steve Perry. And it took me until yesterday when I was looking up the card. And I was like, wait a minute. Let me click on this Damian Priest on the Wikipedia and see. Because I hate to say it, but every time he comes on screen, I flip back to AEW to see what's going on. And I'm like, wait a minute. This guy is Punishment Martinez. I used to like Punishment Martinez. And it's like, that's what, like, NXT does a lot of great things. But I think one of the traps that they fall into from time to time is, and I get it, you know, Scotty, I get, you know, you want to own the names of your talent. But to me, they took, like, what made Punishment Martinez great, they took that and diluted it with this Damian Priest character.
Right.
So all that being said, I'd like to see Finn put him over, I guess, because at this point, you've got to see if there's anything to be gained from Damian Priest, and Finn can take a loss. Because even if Finn loses 10 matches in a row, he's still one of the most over people in NXT just by being Finn Balor. So yeah, who, you know what? What the hell, Scotty? Steve Perry with the upset here.
Should have been gone, Steve Willie. Where's my New Japan? What do you think, Steve?
Man, what's Finn Balor there for? I guess maybe putting him over? Like,
him is better than being on the main roster.
Pretty much.
I actually saw this match at a house show. I'm just remembering this as we're talking. I think I did. Maybe I did.
Who's They've been saying? Working on this one for a while.
Yeah, let's just go Finn Balor.
Okay, fair enough. Nate, what do you think?
I already said Steve Perry.
Oh, you said Steve Perry. That's right. Yeah. I was too busy singing to myself. Oh, Stevie, Steve Willie. Okay. Triple threat. This one's been kind of bouncing around in my head. Triple threat match for the women's title.
I am so dumb. Finn Balor defeated Rick Boogs. That's what I saw. And Damian Priest defeated Dominik Dijakovic. You'd think I would have remembered that. God.
All right. This one's kind of bounced around with me. Triple threat for the women's title. Charlotte, Rhea Ripley, who finally gets a rematch from Mania, and Io Shirai. I've been kicking this one around in my head because I feel like the only reason Rhea lost is because she had to go back home at WrestleMania. Otherwise, she should have kept it because it looked dumb for her to lose. Kind of like it looked dumb for Shayna to lose. I think Rhea wins it back. What do you think, Nate?
Yeah, I could see that, especially in a triple threat format where Charlotte doesn't have to lose because, God forbid, Charlotte Flair.
True.
Lose a match. I could also easily see Charlotte winning and keeping this thing. Like, the least likely outcome for me is Io walking away with the belt, which is a shame because I think that'd be really a really interesting direction
to take
the NXT women's division in. But in Vince's mind, he's like, I've already got one of those as a women's champion, so I don't need two Asukas. So I'm gonna say Charlotte. I'm gonna stick with the favorite here. Let's go Charlotte Flair.
Okay, Steve.
Yeah, I think they should do Io, but they'll keep it with Charlotte.
Is it EIEIO? I like both. I like Rhea. I think Rhea is going to win the belt back. I think Io eats the pin either way, which sucks. But I think Rhea wins the title.
What's with Charlotte Flair, by the way, lately? And obviously, we all love Charlotte Flair. She's a great performer and all that. But like, her selling now consists of just like laughing and smiling.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, like I don't know. Like even like the match at WrestleMania with her and Rhea was great because there was actual. Like emotion in there, But ever since that match, it's been like every match she laughs through the whole match. Like, are you doing a Hugh Morris gimmick here? It's like, I'm just having a wonderful time.
That's awesome. What a giggle. It's hard to get rid of the giggles when no one's watching. So
that's probably it. Like, it's just, they're just play acting.
They're play acting. It's practice. 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 And finally, in a singles match, and this match might be last depending on how exciting it is, Tommaso Ciampa and Karrion Kross with Scarlett and her boobs hanging out. I feel like every outfit she has is, shall we say, questionable. Well, not questionable. I would say
this is nothing awesome. Compared to this. Nothing compared to the stuff she used to wear on the indies.
That's true.
That is
very true.
I think Kross wins this one. There's no doubt. I think Goldie's dad can afford to eat a pin. I think Kross needs to win strong here. What do you think, Nate?
I agree. I think that even more so than Finn, like, Ciampa's going to be an NXT lifer. So, he can afford it. And I think, like, if anybody hasn't watched Impact recently, like within the last 2 years, Killer Kross did some really good work there.
Mm-hmm.
Not just in the ring, but particularly on the mic and with his character work. So I'm not 100% sold on what they're selling us from him and Scarlett right now, but I'm interested to see where they go with the character.
Hmm. Okay. What do you think, Steve?
He's an imposing figure, and I'm surprised that they, you know, pretty much after he signed, as soon as he got on television, he was pushed immediately to the top of the card. So they have to have really high hopes for him. And so I don't think it's going to be just a regular plain old match that he wins. I think that he will do something nefarious.
Nefarious. Yeah. So, all right. Well, there's In Your House, NXT TakeOver In Your House. Enjoy it this Sunday for free or $9.99 on the WWE Network app. And then the first of back-to-back Sundays for WWE. Next Sunday, of course, is Backlash with the greatest wrestling match in the history of the universe, which...
Why are they saying that?
I don't know. I mean, I'm perplexed. And I love Edge, and I moderately like Orton. I mean, I do like Orton, I do. And I love Edge. But why are they pimping the shit out of this? Are they mimicking? Are they mocking something? I'm confused.
You can only set yourself up for failure by saying that.
It's got to be a rib.
It's gotta be
Triple H is just laughing at him in the back. You guys want to have another one of those greatest matches in the history of the world like you did at WrestleMania? And that's how they came up with the name.
Not like Shawn Michaels and I. All right. Gentlemen, a tremendous A block. And before we dive into our trip back to the fairgrounds, let's talk a little bit about some of the great things going on in the information superhighway when it comes to wonderful podcast content. And, of course, I hand it over to my brother Nate. Tell us a little bit about what's going on over on the incredibly awesome Kings of Sport Patreon, sir.
Now, there's a lot going on at the Kings of Sport Patreon, Scotty, besides a planned 10-episode tribute to Avery Johnson. We're working on that. We're working on that. We're trying to see if we can set up an interview with Avery, and he can, you know, the reason I called David the Admiral was because he was better than a captain or a lieutenant. He was the Admiral. And I said, Dave, we got to work on that transition defense. But no, other than Avery Johnson, what we got going on at the Kings of Sport Patreon, we've got the latest edition of the Kings of Sport where Marcus and I kind of talk about what's been going on in the country the past week. You can get that in audio form as well as video form on the Patreon. There is new episodes or relatively new episodes. You know, it's time is relative in the pandemic era, but we've got relatively new episodes of the show that Steve, Willie, and I do together, TDT Talks, which we'll probably have to reconvene here in the next couple weeks, Steve.
Yeah.
And decompress.
TDDT, the darkest, darkest time. Rebranding is necessary. I was thinking about that today, actually.
Yes, yeah, we'll have to get the support group ready for another episode of that. There'll probably be some bonus episodes sprinkled in this week of older content, but it'll be new to you. What I mean by that is it's shows that I've recorded in the past that either haven't made it to the Patreon yet, or I've recently discovered them and remastered them, so to speak. So, yeah, I would say within the next week or so, expect at least two or three shows to drop on the Patreon for the good people out there. And Scotty, as you well know, you can get in the door for only $5. Now, if you want to pay more, I appreciate it. But if you just want to step your toe in the water and see if the water's hot, $5 is all that you need, and you can get all this great content.
Absolutely. Now, for $5, you can sit next to the kitchen, but if you want to sit where Steve and I sit, you're gonna have to dip your beak a little bit more than, you know.
Like, cancel your subscription to New Japan World.
Exactly.
Take the $10.
And Nate, could you imagine some moron actually? Hey, could you imagine some moron paying for MLB right? Never mind. But
listen, they might have to take a 40% pay cut. I gotta help out my Trout.
You know, Bryce Harper's living hand to mouth.
Hand to mouth, exactly. Oh my god, that's great. Well, I am a sponsor, as many of us are. So check out the Kings of Sport Patreon. It is absolutely exceptional. I hope things are well, of course, with Papa Marcus and your public relations director, Baby Simba. Everything going well there, of course. Now, here on the Place to Be Wrestling Network, we got a ton of great stuff going on. The newest episode of Row 1, Seat 1, Mr. Zani, was with Mr. Gator, the announcer for Primetime Pro Wrestling. Check that out. I love that show. Ben talks to guys like so far off the beaten path, but so informative. So check that show out. As I mentioned, it was episode 550 of the Mothership Place Me podcast. JR and Mr. D'Amato and I celebrated my birthday on Monday, and also the birthday of the website, placemenation.com, and we did the 1990 Survivor Series, The Egg and the Taker, which came first. So check out that. Greg Diener and Robert Silver are back to present the finale of their top 10s on the greatest WWE matches project. Of course, that was this year's project. Results, of course, WWE. The newest episode of Jenny and the Gems, we are doing our first match picks show. Each member picked a hidden gem match, kind of a mishmash of fun and weird. We picked some funky stuff, so check that out. As I mentioned earlier, the newest NWA Saturday special, the Doctor and I sat down with the vice president of the NWA, Dave Lagana, on a variety of topics, including pizza. So check that out as well. And on the newest episode of With This Ring, Ryan and Cindy look at some classic WWE and NXT women's matches. Check that out. It's all the great stuff on the Place to Be Wrestling Network. Also, of course, the Place to Be Nation Pop Feed. Some great shows. The Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Diamond Conversations, It Was a Thing on TV, You're in Pop, Latin Theater, a new one just dropped a couple days ago. Great Debate, Piece of the Action, so much more. So subscribe to the Pop Feed today. Then, of course, our brother and sister podcast feeds. Jennifer Smith's The Jenny Position, Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, The Brother-Sister Rewatch, The Journey Through Infinity, and so much more. And then check out my PIC on the other side of the complex, the North-South Connection, JR, Chad, and Aaron, Wrestling War Zone, No Holds Barred, Extreme Three-Way Dance, Jeff Lawrence Wrestling, the Ruthlessly Aggressive Pod, so much more. Check out the great shows over there. Of course, our 2020 stretch project, greatest WCW match ever. Continue doing your research. We're inside of 6 months, so you still got plenty of time to put lists and matches together. Go to the facebook.com/GWCW matches or the Pro Wrestling Only message board for nominations and discussion. The Junk Food All-Time Tournament has begun. We're coming down to the end. So vote and pick your choices for that. And then we'll be getting to the next kind of serious tournament. So stay tuned for that as well. Of course, placemenation.com, your home for everything pop culture. Fresh voices, fresh takes, new everything. Trent's SmackDown on Fox Report, This Week in WWE by John Crow, Paulie's Perspective, Ben's Unpopular Opinion, of course, Glenn Butler's Wednesday Walk Around the Web. And if you're doing any online shopping on Amazon, click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the PTB page or use placetobenation.com/Amazon. Takes you right to the site. Buy whatever you want. You're not spending more than you want to. It's just a piece of what you get comes back to us, and it helps us kind of keep things looking pretty. So definitely do that as well. So much great content out there. Please support them, particularly the Place to Be Wrestling Network. We're doing so much great stuff. So many names, so many voices, so much content. So please do that. It's we're doing the best. We're working really hard to make that feed the best around. So thank you for your in advance for your support and for your support if you are subscribed to it now. Okay. Are we ready? Are we ready to dive into the past?
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at Steve and his 50 pages of notes. Look at the page. Yes. Let us go to December 18th, 2002. The final NWA/TNA pay-per-view of the calendar year 2002. Technically, it's episode... Well, it was the 26th episode overall, but the 25th episode in our hearts. Right? Did I do that right, Steve? I always fuck that up. I did do it right. Hey, I finally got it. All right. This will be the last... Again, as they said, they did... Obviously, in this year, 2002 into 2003, Christmas Day and New Year's Day were both on Wednesday, so they didn't do shows for the following 2 weeks after. So after this, their next show and our next show, two episodes from now, will be January 8th, 2003. Very excited about that. But anyway, let's get this show cracking. Our champions, in case you've forgotten, our NWA World Champion is Jeff Jarrett. Our Tag Team Champions, still the Disciples of the New Church. And from our last episode, our X Division Champion is Mr. Sonny Siaki. Finally won something worthwhile. Can he keep it? Let's see. I was cautiously optimistic as we were going into this show because obviously the last few weeks, the last few episodes, we've been dealing with a lot of Russo trash. But I feel like a corner was turned on this episode. I'm curious your guys' thoughts as we move ahead. Steve, floor is yours. Get us going. What do you think?
Okay. Let me...
Juicy. Well, I mean,
they started off trying to, you know, establishing the title as the world title. They were showing Jeff Jarrett taking the belt to Europe and Japan to defend through 0-1 and out in England and Ireland. We saw pictures of him taking on Sting and Billy Gunn, which were kind of just quick little blips on the screen. I understand the reasoning why they did this. It was trying to be like, hey, this is more than just the Nashville Fairgrounds where Jarrett is. We're all over the world now. And Goldie's out with Kurt Hennig, who heads right to the ring, threatens to stretch Russo, unlike Piper, who can just use his mouth. And then low-key Daniels, Elix Skipper come out of the crowd and whoop on Hedig. And BG James comes to the table, does his worst impersonation of Jim Ross. They Harris Brothers out too, Russo down. They're tearing down the TNA banners at ringside, which I thought was kind of humorous because the Harris Brothers were wearing the TNA shirts and they were ripping down matching banners that were at ringside. So it was cool to see Loki Daniels. I think we maybe saw Daniels once.
I don't know. I was thinking that myself. I don't think so.
I thought for some reason I thought buried in an X Division match somewhere.
Maybe
he was in there, but we haven't seen Loki and Elix Skipper in a long time. So it did actually make sense long term, and they may have been touring around Japan or wherever, but hey, here are three guys that haven't been on NWA TNA television for quite a long time. Now they're with Vince Russo and they have a reason to be angry, but of course they didn't tell you that because BG James was trying to do a Jim Ross impersonation
and not a very good one.
No,
terrible.
And we saw for a second Bob Armstrong with AJ Styles. Armstrong trying to convince him AJ to step up and to be with the NWA TNA against Sports Entertainment Extreme.
I mean, I'm just glad we finally got some good sex workers here.
Yeah, finally.
Yes.
Nobody wants to see sex with just the Harris brothers and Russo.
No, and BG James.
One comment on Russo real quick. I'm sure we'll have a couple of them. But he, like, none of his clothes fit him. He had, like, his...
He looks like he hasn't bathed. He looks disgusting.
Yeah, he really does. He's, like, sweaty, and his shirt has one extra button unbuttoned. Like, the one's cool, but when you get the second, his jeans didn't fit. His leather jacket was too big. Just really skeezy.
Yeah, it was gross.
And he probably thought he looked cool.
He probably did. But he looked terrible. Just skeezoid beyond belief. It fit. It fit to be sleazy. Mm-hmm. It fit, actually. But as the show progresses, I do like we are going to start getting some sort of focus with this. And I have to admit, it actually was entertaining me, believe it mm-hmm. or not. So that takes us to our first match, Steve.
All right. These are always hard to do. But it was a NWA TNA X Division title, number one contendership, 10-man gauntlet match. Usually I like these. And because it's just like a train wreck, I immediately thought that we were going to see Low-Key Daniels and Elix Skipper ruin this, but they didn't. They were supposed to be in it originally, they said. Instead, we have, they come out every, was it 90 seconds? We have, in order of entrance, Jason Cross, Tony Mamaluke, Jimmy Rave returning. Actually, Red was out number two, I'm sorry. Tony Mamaluke, Jimmy Rave, Shark Boy. One of the first times I think we saw him, Kid Cash, Ace Steel, who's no longer with Plumtree, Jose Maximo, Joel Maximo, and you want someone big for your last entrance, your last entrant here. So we got David Young, the returning David Young from the first couple episodes of TNA when he was with Bobcat, which even the announcers forgot who he was with. Who was that lady he was with?
We were hoping to, too.
Oh, yeah, Bobcat, that's right. So, like I said, these are always tough to call. Red and Cross went for some quick pins. When Mama Luke came out, he started going for submissions on both, so playing to his strength, kind of dominated. Jimmy Rave came out. He blocked a Code Red and kind of smashed Red down. Shark Boy came out. Everyone got their little shine. Plumtree came out and started talking about, you know, where's AJ? Is he going to help us? And Plumtree is saying, hey, you know what? I've tried to get a hold of AJ Styles. AJ Styles won't. Like, I haven't just got a hold of him at all. And they're trying to show some dissent there. So. Kid Cash out this week. He's a face. You know, he keeps switching back from face to heel with no explanation. This is basically a battle royal at this part. Everyone's still in. Cross is doing nothing, I said. Like, so I felt that the only reason he's around is for his finishing move at this point. Ace Steel out, I said. Rave eliminates Mama Luke with a roll-up. Shark Boy pins with, like, Rave with, like, a somersault stunner. And then Cash eliminated Shark Boy with a double underpile driver. Kind of looked like the J-Driller. Now there's the Maximals out. There's, like, now everyone's kind of brawling on the outside. SATs are beating down Ace. David Young gets a whole bunch of shine when he comes back, using power moves on everyone. Then you get the dive portion of the match, which... finished with Cash doing a double jump springboard. Young got eliminated by SATs. Steel eliminated Jose. Then Joel quickly pinned Ace. And I'm already turning the page because there's so much going on. Cash reverses a running powerbomb to get a run up for the win. And they get a nice back and forth between Cash and Red. Best spot on the match is terrifying. I've never seen this before. When Cash and Red are on the top rope and Cash military presses Red over his head and then throws him off. Eventually, Cross hits his finisher in 22:07, beating the Amazing Red, that shooting star leg drop. And sure enough, it felt like this entire thing was just to get over that finisher. So Jason Cross has only had like three matches now, and he's already the number one contender for the title.
Mm. Whew, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed this match a lot, actually. I thought it was a fun train wreck. Easily one. It might be the longest match we've ever had. And we have a match later in the night that actually gives it a run for its money. Mm-hmm. But I actually really like this match. I feel like it expanded the division. Obviously, the X Division bails this show out every week.
Yep.
And after a couple weeks of it kind of languishing a bit, it did it again. Amazing Red is so damn good.
Oh, my God. We can talk about that later.
Yeah. So good. He galvanizes those guys. The Maximos, I can always go 50-50 on. I giggle every time I see Jimmy Rave because I met him once. And I've seen him a couple times on ROH shows in the future. But it makes me laugh. It was fun. It was a fun train wreck. I enjoyed it. What do you think, Nate?
First of all, shout out to Steve Willey for doing his best impression of Steve Kornacki on election night. going through all of those precincts to give us the details of this match. I thought this was a solid opener. I think it would have been a better match had the three guys that would eventually become Triple X, had they been in the match with Skipper, Daniels, and Loki. I think it would have been a much better match. But this was pretty good. The only nitpick I have with it, and it's something that Steve alluded to, is Jason Cross winning. Because, A, if we're going to have Jason Cross win this thing and become the number one contender, why did we have him lose the previous show to Tony Mameluke? And then, B, like Steve also said, the only reason he's here is for the finish, and he kind of, like, he didn't hit the finish 100% and didn't do much the rest of the match either. So it's like, why wouldn't they give this spot to somebody like Red or, you know, one of the other guys? Hell, like Jimmy Rave. Put Jimmy Rave in his spot. I think they make the title match better, particularly when you think of Sonny Siaki as the X Division champion. Like, nobody wants to see Sonny Siaki versus Jason Cross, Scotty.
No.
Like, if you're going to go for something different, I think Siaki Red would have been the match to build to. Because Red could have carried Siaki to a really strong match.
Yeah.
I agree with that 100%. I think Sonny Siaki is going to need – I mean, no disrespect to Jerry Lynn or anybody, and we'll get to that match in a little bit. But Sonny Siaki is going to need – because, you know, he's bigger than most of these guys. Sonny Siaki is almost borderline into the regular division. And I think he's going to need some of these young guys to pinball around for him. And again, no disrespect to Jerry Lynn by any stretch, but Jerry Lynn's not a pinballer, at least not like he used to be, of course. So, Jason Cross did seem like a random pick. I would have definitely done either Jimmy Rave or Amazing Red, to be honest with you. But either way, I mean, again, it was still a great match. Again, 22:07. I have 22:09, but close enough, 2 seconds. Still, I mean, good opener. And I feel like they need it at the time. If they're going to do a lot more of these interview segments, which we'll have another long one in a minute, they need to have long, impressive wrestling matches, and they did here, and they do it again later. So, kudos to that one. That's huge. One of the best matches we've had in a while. We did have the Red AJ match, which was fucking great.
Yeah.
I don't know if this match doesn't come that close, but of the many X Division matches we've had with like a bunch of guys in it, this one probably is the best. We've had a lot of them, so. Good job, Steve-O. I appreciate it. I know, you know, there are a couple of precincts that say 3%. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to go back to that and redo this match in about an hour, and then we'll see what happens when it's up to 15%. Now, we have another promo.
Yes, we do. Russo comes out again. I'm still annoyed by them jumping over that same corner of the barrier, like they're some sort of outsiders. So, yeah, Russo puts down the crowd saying that thousands of people get the pay-per-view just to make fun of the crowd, which, you know, really buries your wrestling right there. So he has Daniels and Loki and Elix out. And I did actually like this a bit, you know, saying that Daniels got told no by the NWA because his plane ticket from California cost too much. Loki wouldn't commit to 52 weeks so because he had other obligations, and Russo said, that's okay, you can be here when you need to. Elix wanted more money. He then threatened to kick out BG James if he showed compassion towards his dad. out comes Jarrett. Jarrett is been told by Russo to, you know, for the last few weeks, you know, are you with me? Are you against me? Jarrett talks about how he had to protect Russo over the last 10 years and goes into detail over how many times that he's had to save him through WWF and WCW. But he crossed the line when he spit in the face of NWA. Jarrett said he's never been with him. And then he starts trying to take all seven guys out before, of course, eventually they take control of their finishing moves. So, yeah, establishes Jarrett on his own against Sports Entertainment Extreme.
And this was the moment where I think thousands of fans that were watching and bought this pay-per-view just to laugh at it. Mm-hmm. This was the moment, Steve Willie, where we're like, oh, here we go again with this babyface hero, Jeff Jarrett, that nobody asked for.
Right.
But to give Russo a little bit of credit, I think the first half of the promo was really strong in setting up Skipper yes. Daniels and Low Key. I thought had he kind of left it at that and not gotten into all the WWE stuff, I think this promo would have been really effective. But then, you know, he gets into all the backstory with WCW and WWF, and it's like, yeah, it just doesn't work, you know. And again, Jeff Jarrett is not the hero anybody is asking for or clamoring for in 2002.
Yeah, I do like that. I think these three guys added credibility to this bunch now. Because again, it's Russo, the Harrises, and BG James. Yeah. They're heels just by breathing. But to add these guys in now you're really making this out to be what it's supposed to be, which is the downtrodden of the NWA, supposedly. I loved Jarrett's half of the promo. Is it sad that I kind of like babyface Jarrett? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just a whole,
it's okay.
Maybe it's just a whole nepotism Triple H thing. I don't know.
It's not that Jarrett was bad. I just don't think it's the proper fit for him.
Yeah, I thought the promo was good as well, even though I'm not a fan of them continuing to bring up all the WWF stuff over and over and over and over again.
I agree.
But, you know, Our truth is right there, and he makes it.
Steve Willie, you must have been reading my mind, because I was like, if you put our truth in this situation where Russo wants him to join, like Scotty mentioned, this group of underdogs that have been quote unquote screwed over by the NWA, it makes more sense because our truth has a better claim to being screwed over than Jeff Jarrett. Mm-hmm. But B, him turning it down makes our truth a bigger deal, whereas Jarrett's already at the. Jarrett's as high as anybody can go in this company right now.
Right.
He can't be elevated any further at the current state that NWA TNA is in. But truth, if you make truth the Sting versus the NWO in this equation, I think that makes R-Truth a bigger deal.
And it goes with his story since episode one of being held back and held back everywhere he went. They had the whole thing with the racism angle and that segment with Steamboat. And
yep. Yeah, and all it is him saying, yeah, I've been held back, but I have more sense than to team up with somebody like you. And then truth is instantly your baby face.
And you can show up, Jarrett, you know, help him out and be like, you know, they've been together and apart before, but like to be I don't know. I did think it was a big promo, but it just, yeah.
But and again, like I think my issue more, Scotty, is looking at it as not just this isolated segment on this isolated show, but this sets a pattern that we see repeated over and over and over again in TNA, where Jarrett is the focal point. And I think this would have been a good spot for him to, whether it's R-Truth or AJ or somebody else in that lead babyface role, for Jarrett to be the Kareem to whoever that person is, Magic Johnson.
Interesting analogy.
You know, be the old veteran that's still an all-star, but it's not your team anymore.
Right. So we need Irvin, not Irvin. Or we have an Irvin. We need an Irvin. Okay.
No, the Harris brothers are Irvin.
Okay. Yeah. But I do like the fact that now we can skip the bullshit and Jarrett's a full-blown face. I'm curious how those discussions in the back were, but we'll wrap a bow around that at the end of the show. Speaking of dipping down from our first match, we get this match, Steve.
Yeah, this was a weird one, but I do want to say that what I like about this is this is completely new to me. Like, I know of the existence of SEX. Like, I know that, like, you know, a couple people who are coming in 2003, but this is all new stuff for me. I'd seen or heard of a lot of the early 2002 stuff, but this match, while it was not good, like, surprised me for sure. So it was AMW versus the New Church versus the Harris Brothers. Is kind of been going on for a couple weeks, and the AMW Church feud has been going on for a long time. This is non-title, and Percy Pringle is out again. We still don't know why he's there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Felt it still strange seeing that AMW and Church had this huge blood feud. We've talked about this before, and now they're back to like these regular matches. And this goes back to something you said, Scott, about, you know, the X Division getting bigger. As you were saying that, I counted there were 16 different who I would say are X Division people on this card tonight. So they've really are starting to establish this division, which is a huge plus. On the other hand, the tag team division, this is pretty much it. You know, also the SATs, you know, can pop in from time to time, but these are all of your tag teams that you see. Mm. So this is something that definitely needs to be freshened up. This felt just completely unorganized. No structure to the match. Eventually Athena comes out. She gets involved. I think she low-blowed one of the Harris brothers. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the Road Warriors come out. You know, Doomsday to Bryce to, I don't even remember who. I was just shocked. I couldn't believe it. I think one of the Harris brothers. Then did a power slam and top rope splash combo. AMW just kind of sneaks in for the pin there. That was a legitimate shock to me. I had no idea. I had no recollection of the Road Warriors being in TNA. So terrible match, I thought. We thought it was really bad, but the surprise was worth it.
Yeah, the match was basically just a preamble to the big surprise. And The match didn't do anything for me. I'm tired of seeing these two teams face off. Mm-hmm. America's Most Wanted deserves better, Scotty. But, you know, seeing the Road Warriors pop up, I remember them being in TNA for a cup of coffee, but I didn't know we were going to get them at this point in the run. And you could tell, like, in the crowd, like, they got one of the bigger pops on the show. So from that standpoint, you know, it was a successful debut.
Absolutely. I was just like Steve said, I was fucking blown away when they ran out. I had no remembrance of the Road Warriors being there. But par for the course, since WWE since TNA just keeps collecting guys with substance issues. So, you know, makes sense. I mean, I will say this, unlike Hennig and X-Pac, Hawk didn't look that bad.
Mm-hmm. No.
He didn't look like 98 bad. So I'll say that he didn't look terrible. He actually looked pretty in shape again. But yeah, the tag division was what you saw. And the Disciples don't look that bad. I mean, I know Brian Lee is not, you know, AJ Styles or anything, but I mean, they're okay. No one gives two shits about the fucking Harris brothers. Enough with the goddamn Harris brothers. Enough. Enough.
With the size?
Make them Russo's muscle, that's fine. Otherwise, enough. Nobody gives a crap.
With the size that Sports Entertainment Extreme becomes, why? And like Don, I think it's Don, I can't, whatever. Nazi number two is just so overweight. Like he was wearing like a Everlast ripped t-shirt in this match. He looked like he was like 0.6 BG James in terms of what kind of shape he was in.
Yeah. I think Ron is was the one that was a wrestler, and Don was the security guy who's now a wrestler.
Yeah. That's heavy D.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very heavy.
Yeah. Literally.
He's eating the boys.
It is obvious. Clearly that Harrison and Storm are the studs, but they have got to do something about this tag division and beef up some teams. Adding the Road Warriors, does that do anything? No, probably not. No. But they need to cultivate and work on this tag division big time. It is the complete opposite of the X division, where you've got a ton of young, hungry talent that wants Sonny Siaki's belt. But there's no tag presence whatsoever. But this match was really a means to an end, really. It was just to get the Road Warriors to do something. You know, it was leaning to that coming out. So not much there. Your time, I don't know if you have the time, Steve. I have 7:37, so thank God that it wasn't 20 minutes like the other one was. Although seeing Heavy D go 20 minutes would be heavy D. So there we go. Next, what do we got, Steve?
We have really quick Bob Armstrong in the back talking up to the X Division.
Rallying.
Yeah, rallying up. And I have two big problems with this segment. Number one, Bob Armstrong saying that SEX, that they needed to seduce, exclude them, and X them up. That was the quote. Seduce them, exclude them, and X them up. I have no idea. And the second part, in terms of more of a storyline, and without spoiling anything, so you listen to the rest of the show, they don't even do anything. The rest of the show, like, they don't come out at any point to save people, which is like this big rah-rah speech, whatever. And then we go into review Siaki and Lynn Siaki winning the title, and we have a three-way between Siaki, Lynn, and Easy Money, which wasn't exactly fair for Easy Money because he won a number one contender match, and they put Jerry Lynn back in there because he was cheated out of the title. So Lynn and Money start off with a stalemate because Siaki, they just dumped him right away.
That brings up a real quick, Steve. That brings up a good question. Why are we always having number one contenders matches in the X Division? Like, do they not have a centralized ranking system?
I believe that was Bill Barron's. That was his job. I'm trying to think of the NWA officials that they have. Maybe Bill Barron's had that, and he got taken out, and someone painted something on him in the back. And
like, why are we having, like, the guy, Easy Money, like you said, Steve, just won the number one contendership. And on the next show, we're doing another one.
Yes. Yeah.
It is kind of nuts.
And he didn't even get a singles match.
Yeah. Justice for Easy Money. This man should have protested to the board. He should have written a strongly worded letter to Bob Armstrong because this is unfair. This is unjust. Easy Money has been persecuted by the NWA Board of Directors.
Indeed. He should join Sports Entertainment Extreme with everyone else.
He was dressed for it.
Yes.
If anybody got X'd up on this show, it was Easy Money.
He was dressed for success.
So later on in the match, Lynn and Money did the 3D on Sonny Siaki for some reason. Lynn hit a cradle pile driver, and that was broken up when Siaki like ripped the ref out. And then that woman came out. We don't know who she is still. I don't know if she was on Tough Enough, but she distracted Lynn. Siakalypse wins for Siaki. And then, of course, for the third time tonight, Russo comes out. Russo starts recruiting Siaki. It looks at first that Siaki isn't going to do it. The announcers are saying don't do it to Siaki. But then Russo does, you know, what every good leader does. Like, he basically human traffics this woman, calls her desire, and gives her to Siaki. Lynn tries to attack, and then that's when Siaki says, you know what?
I'm going with you. Leaves with Russo. So now we have the Harris Brothers, B.G. James, Loki, Christopher Daniels, Elix Skipper, Sunny Siaki, and I think they called her Desire.
Yes. And so I knew it was Desire last week. I'm pretty sure that that's who I identified her as. But interesting backstory on Desire. A bit of a tragic career. Because she started off being trained by the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. And then ended up becoming a valet, becoming a manager. Ended up having to retire from wrestling because she had injured her back, messed up her back. And so in 05, she retired and ended up on the 2012 season, I believe, of The Biggest Loser. Because she gained a lot of weight just after her third pregnancy, plus, you know, her back issues kept on going. And at one point, she got up to 252 pounds, which is like 100 pounds heavier than she is at this point when we're watching her on
David Young.
TNA, yeah. So, yeah, she ended up losing 118 pounds, though, Scotty, on that season of The Biggest Loser.
Wow.
So who knows what she's doing now, but that's the backstory on Desire, a.k.a. Kim Nielsen.
It's like Rulon Gardner. Man, he was an Olympic wrestler. He was, I mean, he's a big dude, but he was, what, 240 or something? And then he showed up on The Biggest Loser. What was he, like, 5'10 or something?
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy. And I think he won or finished close to. But I didn't mind this match. I thought it was okay. We've talked about him every week. I don't think Sonny Siaki's a bad worker. I think he's, I mean, they try to pimp him as Rock Light. But he's not a bad worker. I think wrestling, you know, being put over by Jerry Lynn, even though he's not doing the direct pinning, but, working with Jerry Lynn and getting wins and matches with him is helping him, Sonny Siaki. But it's time now to start working with these 57 guys that were in this earlier match, all top talent. I definitely think that it's time for the X Division now. No disrespect to Jerry Lynn, but it's time for some of these younger guys to get some shots. But I did enjoy this match. It was 7:45. And yeah, I think Sonny Siaki's a solid champion, but I definitely think there's a need for some of these younger guys in this division to kind of step to the fore and get some shots. But a fun match, though.
Yeah, it was just a decent little match. I think that Siaki joining a stable is a good move for him. He probably should have been Russo's first pick. Mm-hmm. If you really want to, you know, make it seem more realistic, quote unquote, because he's the only guy in the crew right now that has a title. So he probably should have been the first pick, the first draft pick off the board of Sonny Siaki. But, you know, giving him Desire is a good move. Giving him a mouthpiece and Vince Russo is a good move. So they're really building Sonny Siaki up. The only thing they're not doing, Scotty, is giving him the competition he needs, because other than Jerry Lynn, like, I can't remember anybody that actually helped Siaki get better during this run. Like, because spoiler alert, AJ is going to end up being on the same side as Siaki. So he never really got the chance to work with AJ a lot. He doesn't work a lot with, Jerry Lynn following this. I don't think, at least I don't remember. So you got a lot of these Jason Cross and Easy Monies and Kid Cassius, who are all fine, but they don't really help Siaki get better.
True. That's what I'm saying. I think it's time to kind of maybe, grow that division and have enough of the number one contenders matches and have some guys actually get matches as number one contender instead of continuously going for number one contender. So Sonny Siaki retains the X Division championship. Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, at least it's quick.
True. So
R-Truth has a street fight with local softball player B.G. James. And BG, you know, again comes out of the crowd because he's an outsider, even though he's been on the screen at least a couple times by this point.
Yes.
So immediately, like it's a street fight, anything goes. You're just waiting for the sports entertainment extreme interference at any point. Axe kick on the ramp, which looked really cool by R-Truth. And then they set up the table for their weekly stairwell spot. BG James almost murdered R-Truth in that powerbomb through the table.
He yes.
just dropped him. Then they just start using plunder. R-Truth hits BG James with a shovel to the head, and then out comes low-key Elix Skipper and Daniels. And really, I really like this. Elix had like nunchucks and put R-Truth in the gory special, only with using the nunchucks. I thought that was really creative. And then R-Truth gets pinned by BG James, who is shocked to have win. Immediately, Bob Armstrong comes out and says, "That's it. We're tired of all these straight interference matches. So we're going to finally get down to it. 3-on-3, even though at this point, I believe they have 7 people, 8 people, 9 people. Inside, like, but there's going to be 3-on-3. No interference in that." So SAT versus Daniels, Low-Key, and Elix. The match sucked. It was really bad. But Ron Killings had the cool axe kick on the ramp. And then they had the a really cool spot with Elix Skipper that I thought. But besides that, it was just, I think it was just really a setup to get to the main event.
That's what I think it was. Yeah, go ahead, Nate.
Yeah, I was going to say that. That's pretty much all it was, Steve, was just the preamble, which is a shame because Ron Killings deserves better. You know, this is your former champion, and it felt like a nothing match. And by the end of the show, are you really thinking about his role in this quote-unquote battle for domination in this company? Not really. But it does establish Triple X more, which is maybe the best part of this entire show, was that Daniels, Skipper, and Low-Key come across as really effective heels by the end of the night.
Yeah, I thought you could have a really good group if you took out Harris Brothers and PG James.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, you could have a really, really good group.
Yeah, I agree 100%. On a side note, I found another 50. Just came on my screen here in Studio B. Former Major League reliever, currently in this game I'm watching, he's with the Indians, Julian Tavares. If any of you remember him. He was with the Indians. I think he was at the Cardinals later on as well. Anyway, just wanted to say that. Yeah, this is garbage. And even when you watch him in that group, he looks like just, you know, like the guy that hopped off a softball field and like wants to join a bar fight, even though he has no business. you know, so, yeah. Let's just get to the main event. There's nothing more to say here. it just wasn't good. It wasn't even like a sloppy fight. It wasn't even like a fun brawly mess. It was just a brawly mess. Yeah.
Yeah, this was something. Yeah. I already said the 6. So the one real man, I love this match. Amazing Red, they were getting across that he was number 2 in the first match. So he's already gone 22 minutes in match number 1. SATs were out a little bit later on. This is another hard one to call, so I'll just I kind of stopped writing stuff down after 12 minutes or so. Low-Key hit a really cool flying knee, almost like a V trigger. And like I just said, if they ended up being just Sonny, Siaki, the three of these guys, and AJ, who comes out later, even with Vince Russo, I'm good. I can't forget Desire either. Now that we've talked about her journey. SATs and Red just had these incredible triple team combos. They did like a double submission with Red building up speed to a drop kick. And it felt like this right here was the Young Bucks years before the Young Bucks actually happened. I don't know if these guys get enough credit for getting this kind of style of match
Red maybe a little bit, like we've talked before about how much Will Ospreay looks up to him, but you don't hear the Maximos in this conversation that much. Eventually the heels took control with outside interference on the apron. I talked about earlier during this run of shows how much like Lynn was my number one, AJ maybe number two, Loki number three in terms of the crowd pop. Red's pop during this match was incredible. And then we know that Don West loves Amazing Red, but have you ever seen an announcer get up on the desk and start cheering for Red, you know, with the crowd, go Red, go.
In the crowd.
Yeah, that was not planned. There was no way that that was planned. That like, that felt like legitimate, like excitement for the match. He was just going crazy. Like towards the end of the match, a lot of tornado DDTs. The tornado DDTs on the show felt like it was like the super kicks of 2002. Red got beaten down, countered the key crusher, hit the code red, got the hat tag, but then they start. I thought the match was over right here. I thought they were going to go for the finish. SCX starts going for the finishers, get the best moonsault ever. Joel looked like he was about to break Daniel's neck on some sort of driver. Now it's just a brawl at this point. Loki misses a Phoenix, his Phoenix Splash. Red misses the infrared. This is when Don starts marking out completely. Brawl's on the outside. The story becomes how much more can Amazing Red take because he is kicking out of everything. SATs eventually would miss the Spanish Fly. Elix hits the play of the day. And then Loki hit a second rope key crusher, which on Red, which finally finished it. And the story being that this match went, I think, 21 minutes, so almost 45 minutes of fast action for Red. He never really got a rest. So eventually he just could not go on anymore. And as should have happened, Daniel Skipper and Loki wins. And Meltzer gave this match 4.25 stars, which is a pretty damn big star rating to drop at this time period.
Yeah, this was, in my opinion, one of the best matches we've seen so far. And the fact that you had six relatively young guys, and, you know, granted, even at this point, like, and I love Daniels, but even at this point, Daniels is getting up there, but he's still fresh.
Yeah.
And so I thought this was great because in most matches, if you can get one person over, Scotty, you've accomplished the job. But in this match, you got at least four people over.
Yep.
With Triple X and Amazing Red. And even the SATs were helped out a bit by this match. But Red in particular came off looking like a star, looking like the guy that probably should have won the damn number one contenders match earlier. And then Triple X just looking like this great unit that works. It's very much like a cruiserweight version of the Shield, if you will, in a roundabout sort of way, in that you got these three guys that work so well effectively together. And I just thought this from start to finish, this is probably one of the best matches that we've seen from TNA so far.
I don't think there's any doubt. I don't think 4.25 overstates it. Your match time, 21:03. So we hadn't had many matches over like 12 minutes to this point. And tonight we've got two matches over 20. And I think that's awesome because with all of the interview stuff and all the pushing of the SEX storyline with Jarrett and everybody and Russo and Kurt Hennig, which nobody cares about anymore. You are seeing them starting to really balance a show out. The crap was short. The good stuff was long. We bookend the show with two stellar matches. Now, mind you, a lot of them were the same kind of talent, but, it was just that good. And the crowd was into it. I'm trying to remember. I'm pretty sure this show was probably the second one that was taped from the previous week, which is kind of a crime because the crowd was probably gassed by then. Not that these shows are really long, but this would have been great in a live audience if this was like the first show of the night. And as we've gone through this first year of this company, it is evident that TNA has found its identity early on, and that is expert mid-card, great young talent, scratching and clawing to get to the top while the top is being warmed over by the old guys. And that's fine. That's how, you know, promotions starting up have to be.
That's the WCW formula.
Yeah. Sadly, though, they didn't change that formula when they should have, and they kept it that way for 5 years. Hopefully we see in 2003, you know, starting to be matriculation. And we've already seen some guys thin out. We haven't seen X-Pac in a while. Thankfully, we haven't seen Lawler in a while. So it does feel like they're starting to thin the herd a bit on the main event talent, particularly the ones that look like they're all going to die. This match was amazing. Back and forth, fun, you know, good young guys throwing themselves all over the place. And even better is the end. Which kind of paints a picture of what we'll see for 2003 to a certain extent. But I like the way it ended, Steve.
Yeah, match ended, and they put all three guys out on the table. Kurt Hennig, of all people, comes out for the save. And this one, I don't even know what they were thinking with this part. Like, out of shape David Flair comes out of nowhere. How many, like, people are debuting in this episode? Then out comes Jeff Jarrett with the chair, takes out everyone. Now AJ Styles is out, attacks Jarrett. It's like, this is like the typical issue that I know, Nate, you've had over the years with Vince Russo, like end days of WCW. It's like a few weeks of angles in one show. Like, you could have had the three guys like Key and Elix and Daniels debut. You could have done that. You could have done Siaki a week or two later. Siaki, like you said, is a perfect fit. You could have done AJ, you know, even because I think the AJ thing was kind of lost in there through all that stuff.
That should have been a bigger moment.
Yeah. It's like one of your top guys, if not like one of your top three guys in the company that they've used for this whole year. This is the end of the year. And Elix and I can't even, this was such chaos. Was it Elix and Daniels did like the RVD Sabu splash leg drop through the table for Jarrett? Vince Russo, for some reason, takes an axe to the TNA logo. I have no idea why. Yeah, I mean, like, he's against NWA. He wants TNA, but yet he took an axe to the TNA logo. Like, he should have taken an axe to, like, the NWA. Like, that's his goal. So, yeah, it was weird. It was chaotic. My problem is that it went from, like, three guys to... Gosh, I forgot that AJ joined. No, I forgot that David Flair was out. There were like 10 guys and gals in like 2 weeks. So you're already at like full NWO, like need to split to Wolfpack and black and white in 2 weeks. Like, I get what they're doing. It's chaotic. They want you to, but I think they could have spread it out a lot more. You could have really just ended it right after the match.
Yeah, and even if you wanted to do the ending, which I do think, like, as a visual, it kind of works. But if you stop and think about it after the show, there's a lot of questions to be answered. But I think you still could have done this exact same angle with the people that they brought in prior to this, with BG, the Harrises, Sonny Siaki, and Triple X. That's enough. We didn't need David Flair and AJ, certainly, on this show. Like, I think they could have saved that.
Oh, no one ever needs David Flair.
Like, David Flair is just a weird... That's a random, like... if Vince Russo is doing his best NBA general manager or NBA owner or governor, as they're now called, as I learned through NBA 2K20, if He's doing his best NBA governor impression. Right now he's looking like James Dolan, because, like, why are you signing David Flair to this team? What does David Flair bring to the organization besides a last name? And, you know, his father's never coming in, at least not until 2010.
Yeah, that was... Here's something. I enjoy the chaos. I didn't need Vince Russo out four times.
Here's how bad David Flair is, and I hate to disparage the man. Let's say here's how bad the character of David Flair is, Steve Willie.
Mm-hmm.
David Flair is so bad he makes Garrett Bischoff look like Randy Orton. If we want to go through the route of second generation superstars.
Oh, man. That's rough. The David Flair thing, that's just sad. I respectfully disagree on AJ, though. I think you needed to bring him in now and prepare him for what's next. So I think considering it's the last show for 3 weeks, remember, we're not back till January 8th. I don't mind them establishing, like, last week it was just AJ wanted Jarrett. Now we know why he wants Jarrett. And I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. I'm okay with him debuting now. If this was with shows still going weekly, like, if the next show was next week, maybe we'd wait. But since we're not going to get a fresh show for 3 weeks or 2 weeks, I guess 3 weeks, I'm okay with AJ establishing that he's part of this crew. It seemed almost inevitable with Bullet Bob mumbling to him at the beginning of the show, warbling some nonsense. What a mess. You couldn't really find a better guy to run this company than him. Oh, my God. I know he's a legend and all, but my God. Anyway, I respectfully, I don't say disagree, because I know you guys know that he belongs there. I'm okay with him debuting tonight.
Yeah, okay. I see your point about this being the last show of the year, and that's a good point. But I think if you're going to do that, then everybody else needs to get bumped up a week. Because by the time we end the show, I think Steve's right. AJ gets lost in the chaos.
Good point.
Like, AJ should have been the focal point. Like, he should have been – that should have been, like, the big, like, oh, crap moment at the end of the show. Like, AJ Styles is now with Vince Russo. Whereas when this show goes off the air, you might be thinking that, Scotty, but chances are you're more likely thinking, why the hell is David Flair here?
Yeah, that I agree with.
Like, why did you have David Flair and AJ Styles join the group the same night? That makes no sense.
Yeah, that's true. All right, I that point I agree with. That Low-Key and Daniels and those guys could have been intricated over the previous 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Fair point. I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that.
Because really, like, I think the big stars of the show this week were those guys, more so than AJ.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, AJ will really set the table, I guarantee you, when we get into the first three or four episodes of 2003. I think he will establish himself as the alpha dog in that bunch. But yeah, you're probably right. It just, like, swimming with guys, it probably got a little lost in the shuffle. I don't disagree with you on that.
Like, we really, Vince Russo, general manager here, really should have cut the fat from the beginning. Like, we didn't need Harris or the BG or BG James. Like, we didn't need those guys.
No, we don't need them at all. can't wait till that hurts.
Like, he should have started with. I would have gone Siaki first, then bring in Triple X the next week, and then end the year bringing in AJ.
It's a good idea. Yeah, no, I could see that. I could see that.
Because it does feel like they've gotten too big too fast.
True. And considering they have a weekly show, there was really no need for it.
Yeah.
That's true, too.
And, like, it does feel like, again, to Scotty's big point and one of my big points about Russo, like, he does have good ideas. Like, let it be known that Vince Russo does have good ideas. Even a broken clock is right twice a day. But he tries to put all of his good ideas in one episode.
Yeah, he has the attention span of a 9-year-old.
Yep.
Like, everything's got to be right now. He has ADHD. You know, like everything has to be right now. We can't let anything like matriculate.
Like the beautiful thing about, because he's copying, obviously, you know, trying to do his version of the NWO. The beautiful thing about the NWO is that that story took an entire year to tell.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like Sting didn't talk for a whole year. If Vince Russo was doing that angle, Sting wouldn't talk for a week, and then he'd be talking the next week.
Yeah.
Sting breaks his silence next week.
Next week. He's silent? Yeah, we just didn't have enough time. BG James needed to make fun of JR. All right. Let's get some awards, because we need to start actually, I think we need to start passing out trophies. All right. We'll do MVP, non-MVP, so individual performances, best match, worst match, and then a grade. Nate, your MVP.
My MVP, despite what I just said about him not being memorable on the show, is probably AJ. Mm-hmm. I think he's had the best matches. He's out of all the new guys, he's the one who's kind of popped the quickest. You know, I think you could make a case for Low Key or even Jerry Lynn at this point, but I think I'm gonna go with AJ.
Are we doing MVP for the year, or are we doing MVP for the show?
For the show.
Okay.
Oh, I thought we were doing it for the year.
No, for the show. I'm sorry.
Oh,
no,
for this show? For this show, Triple X. Daniels, Low Key, and Elix.
Okay.
For me, I'm going to be the Down West of our group and go Amazing Red.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go Amazing Red, too. Then we'll do MVP and non-MVP for the year after these. Yeah, you know, you're right on that. Non-MVP for the night, Steve.
There's a few, but one that I want to specifically point out, which I don't think you guys will pick, is Bob Armstrong. Mm. There's literally no reason for him to be here.
Nope.
There, like, he's like, I'm not a fan of authority figures anyway, but I mean, that promo that he had in the back with whatever he said about seducing like Russo or whatever it was. He has every little segment that he's in, there's no reason for him in.
Mm.
Like, yep. You could have just started that match, that main event match, without him. Like, and it would have been fine. So,
mm-hmm.
For me, yeah, Bob Armstrong, just useless. Mm-hmm. I could take the easy route and just say Vince Russo every single week because of his talking.
Listen, look, bro. Yeah. Sex is very valuable, bro.
Bro. More X's. All right. Nate, you're non-MVP. Or LVP, I guess, too.
Got to be the Harris brothers. Like, you talk about people not adding anything to the show. Like, at least, like, Bob Armstrong's not great, but at least he has a role. Like, he has a reason for being there in the story. Whereas the Harris brothers and BG James, to a certain extent, there's no reason for these guys to be on the show, taking up spots. Mm. Like, if you're going to be the big muscle guys, Don, have some muscle.
Mm-hmm. He was my original first choice, specifically Don Harris. But I thought Bomber Upstroke was the better pick.
I'm gonna balance it out and I'm gonna go with BG James.
There you go.
Because he's just an annoying shithead who, and I love Road Dogg, but he's a fucking mess right now. He should not be wrestling.
No.
He needs to either hit the gym or go to rehab with everybody else. He's a mess. He's a mess. Best match of the night, Nate.
The six man, easy.
Steve.
Yeah, absolutely. Six man.
Yeah.
One of the best matches we've watched.
Yeah, I agree. The opener was really good. But I'll go with the main event. I think least favorite, I guess we can go with the, I don't know, the tag and that, we had four matches tonight. The outside matches were great. The inside matches were shit.
Yeah.
Well, there was, and the X division, I guess. So the five matches total. But the tag, the three-way tag was not great. But I'm going to go with that falls count anywhere. And that was just garbage.
Yeah, because at least the three-way tag had the Road Warriors.
Yep. And I agree with you, Steve. I think that falls count anywhere thing was just a means to an end to get the main event booked.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Grade. 1 to 10, Steve.
This might be high, and I think I'm usually low. I gave this a 6.
Okay, Nate?
I think I'm going to go a little bit higher than Steve. Just because I think the outside matches were really strong, and then even though there were things that didn't make sense from a booking standpoint, at least it wasn't sort of the juvenile humor.
Yes,
that usually drags down these shows. So I'm gonna give it a 7.
Okay.
I'm gonna split the difference. I'll go 6.5. Two matches were great. One match was solid, and two matches were shit. And as long as the in-ring promos were, at least they started to formulate a story. So I'm actually legitimately looking forward to our next show in 4 weeks, our next in two episodes, the first episode of the new year, January 8th, 2003, episode 26, because I think we'll start seeing a clear focus, and now they'll have a couple of they would have had a couple of weeks off to kind of formulate things. So, gentlemen, episode 150 is in the books, and it was awesome. We hope you all enjoyed it. Brother Nate, where can everyone find you?
Everyone can find me on Twitter, in the number 8, M-O-Z-A-I-K. You can follow me there, find out all of my shows and episodes that are dropping. And don't forget, patreon.com for the Kings of Sport, patreon.com/the Kings of Sport.
Okay. And, of course, all the great pods he's on here and on other feeds. Steve.
Yeah, you can find me. Instagram's probably my favorite place to be. Besides this place to be, of course. Steve Willie 1, Steve W-I-L-L-E, the number 1. And on Pro Wrestling Only feed, pretty much bi-weekly now for the International House of Combat with me and Kelly Nelson. We were doing weekly, but then life is getting like 2% back to normal. Just two.
Right, just two.
Meaning I have to go to work a little more often.
Yeah, well,
that's the only part.
Hasn't changed for me. obviously, you could follow me on Twitter at PTB Podfather. And, of course, continue paying attention and continue to follow the great things we have on the Place to Be Wrestling Network, all the great shows we have on there. And, of course, the Place to Be Nation Pop feed as well. That is it for me and the gang. For Brother Nate, for Brother Steve, I'm Brother Scott. You've been in the main event. Be safe. Be good to each other. Talk to you in 2 weeks.
Hey, Steve Willie.
Hey, Nate Milton.
Did you know, like, as crazy as some of the stuff with Vince Russo and his new stable were on this episode of TNA, it actually did lead to some good in 2020.
Wow. That was long-term booking.
Yeah, long-term booking. Because during the pandemic, you know, kids have had to learn through online classes. And I just found out that Vince Russo, VG James, and the Harris brothers are teaching kids online.
Wow.
And if any of the listeners want to know what that site is called, just log on to www.sexeducation, bro.
Let's go.
It ain't all about sex with you, 'cause all I want to do is get next to you. I love the way you swing and the things you do. So what I gotta do to get next to you? It ain't all about sex with you, 'cause all I want to do is get next to you. I love the way you swing and the things you do. So what I gotta do to get next to you? You're in the scoop, I think you're cute, and I want to get with you. My crew said I couldn't, but I knew that I could get you from the first time I laid my eyes on you. It was on and up. I figured out that other girls were gone. So for the way you make me feel, I'm kind of digging it. I hope it don't take long for you when I just start swinging it. And everything will be dandy. Mama gave you her last name, but I'ma call you Candy because it's handy. Represent your bit of sweetness, your uniqueness. You're everything that I need, and I mean this. And for the love of it all, I'ma shine. I couldn't sing it in a song, so I wrote it in a rhyme. I gotta check you, do what I gotta do to get you. I'm glad I met you, heck, I'll even sweat you. Won't even let a brother flex with you. So what I gotta do to get next to you? It ain't all about sex with you, 'cause all I wanna do is get next to you. I love the way you swing and the things you do. So what I gotta do to get next to you? It ain't all about sex with you, 'cause all
get next to you. I know a lot of brothers crack for the back, making pitches, swinging hit and misses, leaving you with dirty dishes. I ain't your regular, I'm telling you, I'm hella fella. I'm not your normal Christ storm, strictly a cappella. I'm trying to hook with you, write a book with you. I heard you made moves, I'm on what you took with you. You're the kind of girl that makes me grin, and if loving you was wrong, then I'm ready to sin. I know you're down from the clown that you were dealing with. You caught him creeping, met a girl that he was sleeping with. Now you believe in the taboo from evil that men do, and all you're thinking now, they don't deserve you. You kind of fuss, got disgust in your attitude, but all you need is a dude to show your gratitude. Won't even let a brother flex with you. So what I gotta do to get next to you?
It ain't all about sex with you, 'cause all I wanna do is get next to you. I love the way you swing and the things you do. So what I gotta do to get next to you? It ain't all about sex with you, 'cause all I wanna do is get next to you. I love the way you swing and the things you do. So what I gotta do to get next to you?
Again, smile and wanna win again. Snug and hug you like a glove, show you how to love again. Everybody ain't the same, every game ain't a game. I'm all the man you need to make your life change. You got style about you, they all talk about you. You're all I like with the sexy type of walk about you. You're the girl of which a million dream. Walk inside the club and be robbing the scene. Got the nerve to be looking all good and delicious, enough to make a dead man suspicious. You cause drama when you walk the streets, mama. When you speak, the whole block stops because you're hot, mama. And everybody wants a woman like you. So what's a brother like me to do? Dig it, I'm into you. Won't even let me flex with you. So what I gotta do to get next to you?
It ain't all about sex with you, 'cause all I wanna do is get next to you. I love the way you swing and the things you do. So what I gotta do to get next to you? It ain't all about sex with you, 'cause all I wanna do is get next to you. I love the way you swing and the things you do. So what I gotta do to get next to you? It ain't all about sex with you, 'cause all I wanna do is get next to you. I love the way you swing and the things you do. So what I gotta do to get next to you? It ain't all about sex with you, 'cause all I wanna do is get next to you. I love the way you swing and the things you do. So what I gotta do to get next to you? It ain't all about sex with you,